You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Presented by Prime Social. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Okay, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. So, after the draft, you sign all these free agents. This is kind of what this worries me a little bit because, well, we'll see how they do in it. And hopefully, Bazurgin is pretty good at this because this is so deep into it that your general manager, who also has offensive coordinator duties and head coaching duties and training room duties and equipment room duties and washing the clothes duties, I mean, this deep into it is where it might, some stuff might slip through the cracks, and hopefully Bazurgin is pretty good at this. We'll see. I know Rick Smith was pretty damn good at this. He picked up more than a couple of guys that were undrafted that were pretty damn good. The highest paid of their undrafted free agents is Tyler Simmons, the wide receiver from Georgia, who you just said in the last segment was crappy. Is Lance there, Del?
Okay, there. You there, John?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. No, the Georgia wide receivers were crap. Tyler Simmons, do you know how many yards receiving Tyler Simmons had?
205.
No, how many?
I'm just making a guess.
How much?
I said 205.
You're right. You're pretty close. 255. Tyler Simmons college stats. This doesn't make a lot of sense to me. When I watched him, so here's what he did. He had a fight. So Tyler Simmons got in trouble in college for a fight in a bar fight. He something doesn't add up with Tyler Simmons, because when I watched his tape, this guy is really, really fast. At his unofficial pro day, he ran a 4.38, but I'm telling you, he looks like a 4.38 on tape. He's very explosive. He's got a monster vertical leap, like a 40-inch vertical leap. The most yards he had receiving at Georgia, he had 438 yards receiving in 4 years. He had 21 catches for 255 yards. He has 3 career touchdowns. Now, you may be asking, what in the hell is, why was he the highest paid? Probably because they saw the same thing I saw on tape, which was a guy who, from a punt return standpoint, guys, he had 9 punt returns for 143 yards last year. That's 15.9 per punt return. He was a jet sweep guy the year before, where he had 5 carries for 131 yards and 2 touchdowns. Something doesn't add up here, because he's got tremendous speed. He's got punt return ability. He's got jet sweep ability. He's got deep ball ability. His hands are not great. He's still learning to catch the football. But it doesn't make sense that Kirby Smart didn't give him more touches. There must be something going on with character or football character. Maybe he was a pain in the ass. But I gave a backup grade to Tyler Simmons. To me, I did not expect him to get drafted, but I think he had fifth-round caliber talent. And I really like this addition for the Texans. This is the kind of high upside guy that I'm a big fan of when you're going to do stuff like this. And there's another one, too. Jameer Jones out of Notre Dame, who is an edge defender. His brother played at Notre Dame and was, I think, a second round. I have to see where his brother ended up getting drafted, because he was considered a highly regarded draft pick, and I think he slid a little bit. And then he ended up in the XFL, and they switched him to offensive line. But Jameer Jones, basically, the thought was he was just kind of a thank you to his brother for coming to Notre Dame. So they took the younger brother, Jameer Jones. And then Jameer Jones didn't do a whole lot for the first 3 years. And then this year, out of nowhere, he put together a strong year. He's got great traits. He's big, 6'4", about 255. He's got long arms. He's a 3-4 outside linebacker who flashes. And I think he's a guy that's just starting to learn how to play and come into his own. But I wrote him up as a practice squad type player that I think has potential to develop if you can keep coaching him up. So I think that's a very good developmental pick by the Houston Texans. Scotty Phillips is going to be right there in the mix. He can play. He's a well-built runner. He's about 209 pounds, but he's compact, about 5'8". He can catch the ball out of the backfield. I think Scottie Phillips had late round ability. Another good addition by the Texans to throw into their running back core, where I think he's going to be in the mix for. He's got a chance to compete for running back three, running back four. And then Cordell Uwagwu, I'm not a big fan of his from TCU, but some teams liked him as a center. He was a guard at TCU. I'm not as high on him. But I wouldn't be shocked if two of these guys ended up making at least a practice squad, John, like a Tyler Simmons and either Scottie Phillips or Jahmyr Jones. Wouldn't shock me one single bit if one of the guys made a roster and one of the guys made a practice squad.
What about Jan Johnson?
I don't know him. The other guys, I know the guy. I don't know him. The only other guy I know is Azuye Alufohi from West Georgia. I just thought he's big. He looks the part, but I didn't think his tape was all that good. Like, I kept expecting him to do more, and he just didn't do a whole lot for me.
What about Alex Woodworth? And his first name is not capitalized. E-L-E-X, but it's a small E.
What?
And that's everywhere. It's not like that's some mistake. Apparently, you don't capitalize his first name.
Where are you seeing that? It's
Alex Woodworth. I've seen it all over now. And it's,
well,
and it's bothering
like that
me.
On the team
it's
website, it's capitalized.
Correct. So it's kind of bothering me a little bit.
Hold on. I'm going to see.
I went to the North Texas site, and it's capitalized.
Yeah, where are you seeing this?
No, I'm seeing it right here.
On what?
E-L-E-X Woodworth, and it's not capitalized.
But where are you seeing it?
On SpotTrack.
But where else did you see it? You said you're seeing it in a lot of places?
Yeah, I've seen it a couple of places. Let me see. I'll find it. I'll put it in.
It's not on the team. On the team's website, it's capitalized.
On ESPN, it's capitalized. I don't know.
And NFL.com, it's capitalized.
I'm not sure what that's about.
What the hell?
I think SpotTrack didn't capitalize it. I'd be surprised if anyone else had that, too, because even the team's website, the North Texas website has it capitalized.
Well, then SpotTrack is going to catch some, okay? Because it's grammatically incorrect.
I think they made a mistake, and you like, hey, this is all over the place. It's SpotTrack, and then there's also on SpotTrack.
Okay, well, I must have seen it a few times on SpotTrack. But they're committed to it because they don't capitalize it anywhere.
I think it's capital. I don't know, but he does sound like a very distinguished person. Alex Woodworth.
It just bothered me. And if that's the case, are you sure that Jack Easterby is going to put up with no capitalization of your first name? I don't think so.
Yeah, I think that was just a mistake
I'm sorry.
SpotTrack whenever they were entering the name. But I don't know the guy.
Yeah, I don't know the guy either. So not bad. Maybe a couple three guys do make the team. It'll be awfully nice if make the team, at least the practice squad. It'll be awfully nice if they do. Some stuff that people are talking about today. First of all, the Patriots. Okay. The Patriots not drafted a quarterback. And Cam Newton is out there. Is there a reason? Is he squeezing Cam Newton right now, you think?
No, I don't think he wants Cam Newton. I don't think he wants what comes with Cam Newton. Cam Newton is – Bill Belichick is about football, and I think there's a belief that Cam is about stuff other than football. And Bill – you know the bottom line is? He wants to see what he's got with Jarrett Stidham. He likes Jarrett Stidham, and he wants to see what he's got this year. Hmm. The Patriots aren't going for a Super Bowl. He wants to see. Maybe he's got his quarterback of the future, and he's got to see. This isn't – like, Cam Newton is who you – if you're trying to put a Band-Aid on it and see, like, can we keep this thing open? That Patriot team is not a Super Bowl team right now. They don't have the wide receivers for it. I think they can still be good, but Bill Belichick wants to see what he has with Jarrett Stidham, and you can't just let Jarrett Stidham have a game or two games or be back. If you want to see what he is, then play him. Let's see
and
what he is.
He got him no help either, too.
Huh?
You know what? This is a tank for – are they tanking, honestly?
Tank for Trevor?
Tank for Trevor.
No, I think they want to see what Stidham – look, Jarrett Stidham, you just saw a guy in Joe Burrow go from a nothing to a first pick of the draft. Jarrett Stidham showed some stuff his technically redshirt sophomore year, and the next year when he had no protection was a disaster for him. I think the Patriots want to see he's got a ton of physical talent. He's very highly regarded coming out of high school. He was Art Briles calls him the best quarterback that he ever recruited in terms of his pure ability. I really think New England wants to see what they have with him. I know everyone has given up on him for some reason, but Bill Belichick hasn't. And I don't think Bill Belichick is going to keep – I don't think he's going to look at Cam Newton. Because if you do, if you bring in Jameis or Cam Newton, immediately all your fans are just going to want them to play. And I don't think he cares about that. He wants to see what he's got.
Yeah.
I don't know where they're going to play. Honestly, find me a place for Cam Newton and Jameis Winston right now.
Well, Jameis already signed with the Saints.
Well, he
has. Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
He hasn't signed. Apparently, if they sign him before a certain time today, then it hurts their compensatory thing. So they're going to wait until after that expires, but he's going to sign later today.
Now, that would make sense because no one's calling for Jameis over Drew Brees.
No. But what – so are you telling me right now that Cam Newton is not going to have a team this year?
I'm telling you – I'm asking you to tell me the team that wants Cam Newton.
Well, this sounds – oh, my goodness. Now, this doesn't make – this makes very little sense to me.
There's not a lot of teams that need quarterback right now.
No, I know. This is a strange time in that because there's usually going into every season – There's a lot more questions about the quarterback position for teams. But most every team is set up. This, though, Cam Newton not playing, this makes a lot less sense than Colin Kaepernick to me.
Well, on paper, remember now, he's been coming off a ton of injuries. And he had 1 year where he was accurate. Well, kind of accurate, when he won an MVP. But Bills, Jets, Dolphins, none of those teams –
No. There's you go through the list of teams that need a quarterback. Or well, now
you're now Steelers.
Well, Steelers have Ben Roethlisberger.
Well, I guess they're in the same boat, Cam, and you don't know how long they're going to last. So I guess you're right. Bengals, no. Well, Bengals. Joe Burrow could have. I mean, Joe could get beat out by Cam. That's possible.
Yeah, they're not doing that. They're putting Joe in.
Yeah, I mean Cam, if he would accept knowing he's the backup, that's a place for him. But he's they're
paid
not going to
Tennessee.
Do
that.
Right. I mean, that's what surprised me about Jameis is Jameis just said, "Okay, I'll back up Drew Brees
because that's where he is."
Take
now.
The Teddy Bridgewater route. Go back up, learn all you can, and see if it helps you.
Go rehab your rehab your 30 interception image. Jacksonville Jaguars would be a Cam fit, but we already know I don't think they are interested, although they could be. I could see the Jacksonville Jaguars getting into Cam Newton business down the road. I could definitely see that.
This is driving the price down. So Cam is going to have to play for a lot less than he had hoped.
Honestly, John, who do you – Oakland grabbed Mariota as the second quarterback. The Broncos have Drew Locke, but you don't want to put him behind Drew Locke. Kansas City Chiefs. I don't know who their backup is. He'd be an interesting backup there. Right now, Cam Newton is a backup quarterback, believe it or not. It's just there's way more young quarterbacks in the league who aren't terrible than there have been in the past.
Wow. 815 ESPN 97.5, 73780.
Would you like him with the Texans? If he paid for a backup quarterback, obviously they're already paying A.J. McCarron, but would you want him in the Texans?
No. It'd be just, again, there's another distraction. It's just a distraction.
And that's why I think a lot of NFL teams don't want that distraction with
Cam. No, and I don't know that he's got the attitude to back up, if you want to know the truth. He will fight you. He wanted to fight his defensive – he will fight you right now. I mean, so, yeah, I wouldn't want that here. No, even though he knows he's not starting ahead of Deshaun, it would just be for no reason. 816 ESPN 97.5. Don't go anywhere.
This is Ed Tuttle Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Let's go. We see the hype outside, right from the house.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Presented by Prime Social. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Yeah, a story out today about Major League players and owners are having a hard time coming to decisions about player salaries for potentially shortened season. Apparently, this is an increasing concern to both management officials and agents I've spoken with. On the management side, they feel like the financial hit the baseball has taken, there needs to be some salary rollbacks. There's some increasing optimism that baseball will be played this year in some form, perhaps in front of fans. However, that can't happen unless these two sides come out of the trenches where they are right now. They'd come to an agreement before that said that, you know, in a shortened season, they would get the percentage that they were supposed to get. But now, I guess, apparently, they're pushing back on that thing. So they should take prorated salaries. But they want all their guaranteed money, blah, 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 blah. You know what we don't need right now? Baseball players and owners fighting over their money for this season. I heard somebody told me this week that he heard from a really good source that there wasn't going to be a season, a baseball season. I could certainly see, I don't know how basketball's going to do it. I just don't know. That it's, now we're heading into, before they can even start, they need a month to play, and there's only going to be a playoff with 16 teams. I don't know. I don't know how they're going to do it, and they're going to do it in one spot, I guess.
Maybe two. For contract reasons in terms of TV deals, 70 games is when those full payouts happen, so the fight to get the 70 is what the owners certainly want. There's allegedly some plans in place to possibly have one site in Orlando because they have like the Disney Worldwide of Sports and they have all those basketball courts available to play games. And then you have Vegas where you have possibly you have the Thompson Mack Center. Then you have the Summer League court and Vegas is shut down, so maybe you isolate there with all the hotels.
Vegas is opening back up though. I don't know if you saw.
Well. Oh, yeah, that the mayor certainly thought so until she caught heat, so we'll see how far that goes. But, yeah, so Orlando and Vegas, I heard on a podcast, it's not like I have sources, that those are potential spots right now for basketball. I don't know about baseball.
We just had a power surge here. Am I still on?
Yep.
Oh.
It's going to be interesting to see if they play you know, the one thing, the flattening the curve, you know, flattening the curve was supposed to slow everything down so that the medical apparatus wouldn't get overrun, right? The hospital, ICU, ventilators. But what it does is it just delays. You know, it delays because as long as it's still out there, that's why we're supposed to see. Remember when our spike hits, which you and I talked about this, it never made sense that people had a. No, we're supposed to spike on April 27th is our spike. Our spike is going to be on April 21st. No, it's the 27th, our spike. And then what? And then it just goes to, and then it goes away? Or how does this work? There's a time frame on this? There's an expiration date? That never made sense to me. And now I realize now the talk is like, yeah, so the flatten the curve, we are delaying. It will be another surge when we open it back up. So I guess we're just kind of delaying everything. And the NFL, I mean, the Major League Baseball, at some point, if they want to come back, they're just going to have to take their chances. And when guys get sick, they're going to have to do everything they can to isolate the people who are sick. I would say have a full minor league roster ready, available. You have to do your social distancing. And I would say this is a weird year. So all of your trip, anybody from your minor leagues can be, you know, basically, you need to be able to expand your rosters because if someone gets sick, you have to keep them out. You test everybody again, and if everyone's good, they can stay. The other guy gets quarantined. That's the only way they can get back to this. Some guys will get it, have minor symptoms, be back earlier, be immune in the short term. That's the only way they're going to be able to do this. They just can't bring it back, and if one person gets it, everything gets shut down. That's just not – They're going to have to power through this. Any sports franchise, any organization is going to have to power through to it, and they're going to have to take some heat for it. But if they want to play, that's really the only way. Because if everything is shut down completely every time there is a test, then they will never be able to come back. I don't think. I don't know how they'll be able to. And I'm not saying the NBA was wrong for doing what they did. Not at all. It ended up turns out that way more guys had it than they realized. Did you guys see that story that Adam Silver apparently said, oh, there was actually more people, we just didn't say their names, who also tested positive. But once you get that thing down to zero amongst your players, once everyone is tested, provided there are tests somewhere, I guess, when they get their brains swabbed, then you're starting fresh, and then it's a matter of testing all the time. But I don't know. I'm trying to figure out how they're going to start playing. I think you just have to power through.
I'm thinking the NBA, all the professional sports are going to have to operate like the porn industry operates. Where, hey, one person gets it, up, we got to swab anyone they've ever come in contact with.
You're right.
But that industry doesn't stop. Or maybe they have a shutdown for a little bit, but hey, we isolate those people and then we keep going. I don't know how, like your point, I don't know how you start if you're not going to be willing to accept someone catching it and continue.
You pretty much
it.
That the math is, it's not going to just, the only way you could completely get it to go away is if everyone stayed in and did nothing for about 21 days, it would be completely gone. But that's impossible. We already know that's just not possible. It's not going to happen. So you're not going to quarantine where no one comes out or anything like that. So it's always going to be around. I don't know how it just – everyone's acting like there's an expiration date on it based on
what?
Well,
and even then you can't let anybody into the country after that.
Right. Like, this is really – at some point you are going to – everybody, I don't care what side of the political spectrum you're on, because, frankly, I don't care what side. All I care about is the science of everything. At some point you have to realize there is going to have to be you have to take certain precautions, but it's not just going to – if you're waiting for it to magically go away, it's not going to magically go away. And every time you want to play sports, if somebody tests positive, yes, there needs to be a vaccine or there needs to be treatment so that it's not as deadly for certain people when it gets into them. Because we know – and the mortality rate is lower than it has been portrayed. The numbers are coming out and the mortality rate is a little lower. It's much higher for smokers. It's much higher for certain people who are more predisposed.
France.
We know that. And there are young people – occasionally, when I say young, in their 30s, who will die from this, and they're trying to figure out why. So that's what's really, really scary. And when you have a viral load, quote unquote, the people who are in hospitals, they're more susceptible to potential death as well. But I don't see how you get back to business as usual. It's not going to be business as usual. But if you want to come back in sports, you are going to have to deal with the fact that there could be some spread of this disease. And all you're doing right now is trying to get the vaccine or trying to get medicine that can help diminish it or help inoculate. And that's not going to be for a little while. So it's either that or don't play baseball or college football or pro football or basketball for at least a full year and then see how it goes next year.
Yeah. And even then until a vaccine. So comes.
Yeah.
Into place.
And then how does it change?
Yeah. So I think you start if you're going to play, you treat COVID like an injury. All right. You're out for 2 weeks. Hopefully we caught it before you gave this quote-unquote injury to someone else on our team, and then you step aside and we keep playing. I don't know how else you do it.
I honestly, Dale, I walk around now. I think everything is going to fundamentally change because everyone walks around now. You don't want to. You're very cognizant of where somebody else is distance-wise. Even people I know extremely well, I treat like that, and like me and my wife and Chris Solis and his girlfriend, we went and got burgers the other day and sat in our cars and just talked to each other across because we hadn't seen each other and we used to go to dinner, you know, all the time. And I feel like I'm walking around like, this is how Dell is every day. This is Dell just walks. Yeah, don't get too close. I'm not hugging. I'm not shaking hands. Dell is constantly social distancing from everybody in life, John. This is Dell's dream come.
Yeah,
we're in a Dell dystopia and
all
utopia.
Have to live Dell's life now. How about that?
Well, you're not living my life completely because you decided to saddle yourself with the family. But
well, true.
Yeah, so you're not full on living the Dell utopia.
No,
but you're getting closer. Look, I mean, adjustment. What adjustment? What are you guys talking about? This is I don't have to. I can't be near you. I'm good. I'm only upset about one thing. There's a concert I really want to go to. It's at Justin's Place. They were scheduled to August. I'm not sure that's going to still happen. But other than that, good. Stay away from me.
Do you have your mask? Mask day started today.
I do have a mask. I forgot it. I got a couple.
We got masks at home and I can't find them.
Your mask right now?
No.
Citizens arrest. Citizens arrest. You're not wearing your mask right now.
No.
Okay.
All right. He's going to his bag.
I was looking to see if I actually put it in the bag because I had it.
Dale's all in his bag.
But then again, I live in Galveston County, so I don't know if we've had that ordinance.
You're in Harris County now, sir.
I know. I'm aware. So I forgot about it. It hasn't been on my mind. But I have a couple masks. I just forgot to put it in the bag.
We had masks, and I don't know where they are. I've somehow misplaced them in the
house.
Well,
you have to get it. You're going to get fined, or I'm going to get you arrested.
I get a citizen's arrest. I know.
Citizens arrest.
Let's get to Colton in here.
829, ESPN 97.5.
I want to talk to Colton.
G'day, Sam Windsor from the Houston Sabercats here. Rugby's simple. Make tackles, hit rucks, score tries. Almost as simple as using the app. Stream ESPN 97.5 from anywhere, even down under.
Is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Prime Social. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right. I am watching I'm watching Jason Luck on Fora. His vitriol toward the Texans is real. I mean, Jason has something that he just does not like about the Texans. Bill O'Brien, I don't know what it is. I have no idea.
He hates Bill O'Brien.
Question is, what does Laremy Tunsil's deal mean for Deshaun Watson? And he's like, nothing. He's got to make the decision of whether or not he wants to give his whole career to Bill O'Brien. And that is true. Deshaun will make money wherever he goes. Now, they might have to franchise him, and they will. If they have to franchise them, they're going to do that. Just saw where the Chiefs are trying to get a deal done with Mahomes this summer. They want to do a deal with Mahomes.
Well, they have to go now because now Bill O'Brien's about to push up the – you got to get deals done before Bill O'Brien does because he doesn't. Bill O'Brien is literally managing this team like coronavirus will wipe everything out, and everything's irrelevant. No reason to have picks beyond this year. There's no reason to have any financial soundness to the contracts you're giving out. There's not going to be football anymore. So you might as well get everything in on this year just in case we play this year. That's how it looks.
No. You have to get a deal done before Bill O'Brien does.
You're absolutely right.
Look at what he did to the left tackle position. He destroyed it. And then he lied about the Dolphins and he didn't no, well, I will say this. All he said was, well, teams have to agree that are trading the guy, they have to agree.
Excuse me.
He didn't say that the Dolphins didn't agree. All he said was that the team has to agree.
Did he not get his pizza? Why is he talking this way about the Texans?
You didn't get your meat lovers over the weekend?
Did you not get your pizza?
I got my gift certificate, but I don't know. I didn't get another.
Why are you bad-mouthing the Texans now? Did you not have a pizza?
I didn't bad-mouth the Texans. I'm just saying that
Bill O'Brien is a liar, sir.
I want to clarify that. He did not lie.
Pizza came.
Oh, what?
The pizza came.
Ding, ding. Pizza here.
No.
Pizza here, guys. Bill O'Brien just shipped out a pizza, sir.
There's no ringing at the door that the pizza's here.
Bill O'Brien didn't lie.
When asked, hey, you didn't do this deal before. Yeah, well, teams do have to agree. He didn't say the Dolphins didn't agree. All he said was teams have to agree that you can rework or come to terms on an extension. So he did not lie. That is true. Teams do have to come to terms on an extension. He didn't say the Dolphins wouldn't. He just said that teams have to.
But the implication.
So you're going to assume stuff? Is that what you're doing?
Why would he add that if he's not suggesting the Dolphins stating
a league rule, Dell?
Yeah. But he was asked about why an extension didn't get done at the time of the trade.
All he said was teams have to agree to it.
But then why would you throw that in if it doesn't mean
anything?
Well,
maybe he never asked them if they would agree to it.
Hmm. So he still...
He didn't say the Dolphins wouldn't.
He just said they had to. Isn't that malpractice not to ask the Dolphins?
No. Well, he didn't say. Well, that, again, all you're doing is assuming that the Dolphins said no.
So
or
I didn't
he's
say
lying about it.
If the Dolphins didn't say no, why didn't extension get done?
Because that wasn't the question. It wasn't the answer.
No, that wasn't the answer. But what was the question?
The question was, why didn't he come to terms? And all he said was he gave a rule, an NFL rule. That's all. He didn't lie. That is the rule.
So he didn't answer the question then is what you're saying.
But right. He didn't answer the question, but he didn't lie.
This is your coach. I'm glad he's your coach and not mine. Thank God.
So listen, I'll bet you the Chiefs are scared to death that he does a deal before with Deshaun.
Every team in the league is terrified of this guy now. He's blown everything. They're in the midst of a pandemic, losing money, millions, hands over fist on a daily basis from sponsors and advertisers who are not only not going to be able to pay for the bills, but who are going to, they themselves, potentially go bust. And Bill O'Brien is handing out contracts that are 20% higher than the highest paid guys. For no reason does he have to go that high.
Well, he had to. But
why did he have to?
He had to because he painted himself in a corner.
That's why he had to. He made himself do it because of his own mistakes.
Right, because of his incompetence. Yes, what yes, did the, yes, Lance, and, yes.
So what did the Colts do? We want DeForest Buckner. Okay, give us a first rounder. You mean it's not two first rounders? DeForest Buckner, by the way, all pro. Better than Laremy Tunsil. It's just really not debatable right now.
Oh, and now forget about that. You think that the Bills aren't pissed? Like they didn't get the question of, hey, why didn't you get DeAndre Hopkins for a second rounder? What are you guys doing giving up a first, a fourth, a fifth, and a sixth for Stephon Diggs?
He single-handedly, when he gives you something, it's for a discount. When he purchases something, it's full-on retail. It's unbelievable what this guy does.
No, it's just ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Anyway, like Conforto was saying. But here's the deal is, hey, if I'm Deshaun, listen, two things. Do I want to play for Bill O'Brien for the rest of my career? Probably not. But where am I going to go? What coach? And what's the situation? And all this stuff. I don't know. We'll see. I don't know. But, man, I know I got him between a rock and a hard place. If you're paying Laremy Tunsil $22 million at left tackle, the only reason that you got him is to protect me, guess what I'm getting? Paid, brother. Yep. I'm getting paid. So, Deshaun, this does mean something for Deshaun. It means I am going to screw the Texans to the high heavens. I am going to.
Oh, yeah.
I'm making cake.
No, he's going to stick it in also.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Ooh. Why you got to do it like the donkey sound?
Because just doing some Teddy KGB. Let's get Colton in here. What's going on, Colton? How you doing?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How you doing?
How you doing? Sports.
All right. Different show. Yeah, I got some draft talk. Thank God for the draft. Give us some more stuff to talk about. Just wanted to hear what y'all thought. Three best drafts, three worst drafts as far as franchise go. Throughout all the rounds, and then I'm an Aggie, so I liked watching Courtney Davis and see what y'all thought about Courtney Davis. I know he's not going to be a or anything, but I enjoyed watching him go up, make contested catches. He's not the fastest guy, but I'll hang up and listen and see what y'all think.
Yeah, so I haven't had to do. I did my own. I thought the Texans had. I'd put them in middle to lower middle. I thought it was okay with what they had, but it's really nothing special. The Dolphins, to me, had a little bit of a weird draft because they took a lot of chances on some of their picks. They're betting on upside for a lot of picks. I expected them to maybe hit a few more singles than what they hit. I actually like the Bengals draft. Burrow, T. Higgins, Logan Wilson, Akeem Davis-Gaither. I think those are all starters. I think they got four starters with their first four picks. And then Marcus Bailey in the seventh round is a really good value, provided he can stay healthy. I thought they had a very good to me, the Packers probably had the worst draft. The Green Bay Packers, so they draft Jordan Love, which I get. I don't have a problem with that, although you basically are saying we're not giving you help this year, Aaron. We had a chance to, but we're not going to do it. I think that's a little bit of a problem for Aaron Rodgers, but I get why they did it. But A.J. Dillon in the third round, or no, he was in the second round. That seems way, way too early. The teams I talked to had him third or fourth. Back into the third or into the fourth. To go second was way too early, and basically you're saying you're going to change your whole offense is what you just told Aaron Rodgers. Because A.J. Dillon has to play like Derrick Henry plays. They drafted an H-back in Josiah DeGuara. Could have had him fifth or sixth. Kamal Martin, I don't think can play. Runyon, backup guard. Jake Hansen, I'll be surprised. He'll probably make the team because they drafted him. Wouldn't be surprised if he's out of the league in 3 years. Simon Stepniak, I mean, it's just not good. This is not a good. And then they had your guy, Nino Garvin, who didn't show up this year for some reason.
Jonathan Garvin.
Why do they call him Nino?
Maybe it's some nickname. I don't really know. Aaron Jones, the A.J. Dillon thing, if they want to play him, that means you're taking Aaron Jones off the field, which is their second best offensive player. And maybe their first, considering Rodgers' decline. The Packers thing is weird. As far as Courtney Davis, he's the guy who the Vikings guaranteed $100K to get him over. The Cowboys wanted him. The Vikings, hey, you can take almost all of our undrafted free agent signing money. They gave him $100K.
Who did they give $100K?
Courtney Davis.
Courtney Davis.
They gave him $100K to sign.
I've never heard of that in my entire life.
Exactly. Well, that's the report. I think you only get 120-something or right around there for your undrafted free agent. They gave him $100K. Well, remember, they had all the draft picks, so they weren't probably going to go into that pool very deeply, because you were just talking about that. But they gave him $100K so they could get him away from the Cowboys.
Well, I don't know that that's true, though, about that, because that most of these guys are signed to three-year and $2.4 million deals, a 2.3, 2.2. There's most every spot track guy is a three-year deal at 2 point something.
Wait, who for what position? For who?
For undrafted.
No. That's not the undrafted number.
That's if they make the team and stuff.
And that's not even the league minimum. That's way high, unless the league minimum is that high now. Yeah,
no,
that's if they make the team.
3 years, 2.4, 800,000 a year.
Okay, so that's why, but they're not making that. That's not their contract. That's if they make the team.
He got guaranteed $100K.
A lot of the times, their guarantees are $10,000, $20,000. Sometimes it's as low as $5,000 to
$8,000. Gotcha. So guaranteed signing bonus. Oh, no.
100
okay,
is
so.
Crazy.
Yeah. It's crazy. Here, total guaranteed. Yep. Oh, well, Nick Bowers got 100,000. Jeremiah, 80,000. Denson got 80,000, 60,000. Darian Daniels got 105,000 guaranteed. Luke Barkoo got 160,000 guaranteed.
So, Luke Barkoo has 100,000 passes defensed. He's a bag of bones. He's 175 pounds with, as one scout told me, almost no muscle mass at all. And yet he's super instinctive and makes a ton of plays on the ball. He's really fun to watch. And the scout told me he can't get drafted. He literally is made of just bones and some skin. Really? He goes, yeah. He's just, it's like muscle can't grow on his body. I said, but he makes all
Durant,
these plays.
150,000. So that's not unusual. There's a lot of guys that are getting over 100,000.
It's gone. Well, it's gone up then over the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Because the highest it used to be was 10,000 was the highest. And then there was a 20,000. So now that's obviously that has really, really changed. 100,000 is pretty high, though.
Yeah.
100,000 is pretty high.
Guaranteed it's signing. Big money, man. That's nice money for these guys.
To reset, by the way, the Houston Texans, I like their first pick, Ross Blacklock. First pick was the 40th pick.
We'll reset it on the other side.
Yeah, we'll do it on the other side. If you stick around with us, I'll talk about who the Texans drafted and my thoughts on those guys as well.
All right, we'll do it on the other side.
Tell you about Gulf Coast Chevrolet, Buick, GMC. Those are the different vehicles they carry. If you go to LanceZCars.com, you can see their entire inventory, and that includes pickup trucks, it includes SUVs, crossover vehicles. They will pick up and they deliver. If you have a trade-in, they will pick that trade up in. They will work with you on the text line to get on their chat line to get your entire deal done right there. And let's face it, you can go in there and test drive if you want. They can set up the whole thing. But if you're looking to just purchase, because you know what the vehicles are, basically, they can make it super easy for you. They've got competitive pricing unlike anyone out there, and it's very simple. They give you more for your trade-in value. They've got great deals going on, like no monthly payments for 120 days or 0% financing for 84 months through Chevy for well-qualified buyers. So make sure that you check that out, because they've got that for the Chevy Silverado 1500 and Trax models and the 2020 Equinox. So take advantage of these great programs that are going on right now at Gulf Coast Chevrolet Buick GMC. If you need a car, you need a truck, you need a crossover, you need a Buick car, they have you covered at Gulf Coast Chevrolet Buick GMC. Go to LanceZCars.com.
This is Carlos Correa, All-Star and World Series champion, and big fan of Gulf Coast Chevrolet in Angleton. No one will treat you better. Chevy, find new roads.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Presented by Prime Social. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right. Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. Very interesting. All right, so you said let's do this Texans thing, but when Raheel gets here, we got to talk about last night's Last Dance.
Yeah, we haven't even talked about it yet.
Did you watch it?
Yeah, appointment viewing. My kids can't wait for it to come on, and even Mahdi doesn't even say anything when Michael Jordan's dropping F-bombs.
Man, he dropped more than a few. That was MFers in there and biz notches.
We saw some Michael Jordan, classic Michael Jordan snitching going on.
Oh my goodness.
George Foster said, I see Kobe got everything from MJ, even the snitching.
Yeah, I know, right? When he was talking about, who was that, Burrell?
Burrell. Burrell's like, come on, M. He called him Dude, M. Come on, M. This is going to be on. Don't put this on camera.
Yeah. okay, why don't you talk about the Texans draft for anybody that missed it early.
Ross Blacklock, the first pick of the Texans, second round, 40th pick.
Who I said they were going to take, but go ahead.
Ross Blacklock is a disruptive defensive lineman. He has the ability to get in gaps. He is you don't play him heads up because he'll get run downhill on and have trouble holding up. But if you let him get in the gaps, man, he is really, really tough. He's very quick. For slower offensive linemen, they're going to have a real trouble dealing with him. I had somebody ask me, why would the Texans draft him in a 3-4? But the Texans are their sub-packages so often, more than half the time, that it makes a lot of sense. He's more of an even front, which is even front means four down linemen. He's more of an even front defensive tackle where he is going to play in a, you know, kind of a three technique, but it doesn't matter. You just want him in the gaps being disruptive. He can rush. He can help with the run, getting into the backfield. He came off of an Achilles injury last year and played his balls off. So I really like that pick. The next pick was just okay for me. Jonathan Greenard. It's okay. He doesn't have a lot of juice as a pass rusher. He has some talent as a pass rusher, but his workout was really uninspiring at the combine. Texans, who typically crave traits, they did get the long arms from Greener, but he does not have a lot of explosiveness. He didn't show a lot of explosiveness on tape. He showed more skill, and we'll see. He's going to be a Sam linebacker. We'll see how he does with Brendan Scarlett. I think Scarlett, Ejiofor, Greener, those guys are going to be scrapping for playing time. Jacob Martin kind of carved out some playing time for himself. We'll see how that goes. Charlie Heck, I like the addition of a swing tackle. The Texans stunk behind their tackles whenever Roderick Johnson had to play. It was terrible. The Texans were awful at backup tackle. Charlie Heck can come in, compete for that job at left tackle, right tackle, the swing tackle spot. But he's a straight backup. That's what he is. He's not a guard. He's a swing tackle who you hope can get you out of there and in decent shape if he's got to step in for Tunsil or for Titus Howard. And as an earlier pick as a move up pick in the fourth, I was a little surprised. I think Bill misread the board. I don't think he had to do that. I think he gave away some extra sevens to move up, But that's obviously a player they really coveted and definitely a position that needed to be taken care of. John Reed, another fourth rounder, Penn State. Bill O'Brien knew him from their camp days when he would come to camps when Bill O'Brien was at Penn State. He is a twitchy, good short area quickness, quick feet, man cover slot. Texans talk about him playing inside outside. I don't see that. I think he's more of just an inside slot corner. He can guard very tight man in short spaces, but once he's forced to kind of expand his coverage beyond the level one and level two, he gets lost a little bit and can have a little problem in coverage. He's a backup slot right now and a decent player. I like the player okay. I think he would have gone late fifth probably, so Bill may have stepped up a little bit earlier, but his workout was exceptional at the combine. Looked really good in the field workouts, and then his testing was really, really good. And then the last pick was fifth rounder Isaiah Coulter. He's a wide receiver from Rhode Island. There were two Rhode Island wide receivers, Aaron Parker and Isaiah Coulter. Coulter's 6 feet two, almost 200 pounds, ran a sub 4.5 40, had explosive numbers with as a leaper, which shows the it shows on tape when he goes up and gets it, can high point it. He doesn't separate great right now. Even though he has the speed, it's like he just, as a route runner, he's kind of basic. And so the Texans really need to coach that up. He's got a lot of potential, but they need to coach him up to be more sudden and more explosive and to stop being a one-speed route runner. But if they get that coached up, to me, I really like this pick. He's one of my favorite picks in the fifth round because I think he's got the talent to become in the mix for their 11 personnel, which is three wide receiver sets. Maybe not this year, but in the future. So I liked him. That's a good upside pick in the fifth round, and that's about the value, based on the teams I spoke with, that's about the value of where he would have gone. So all in all, I thought the Texans could have done a little better in the fourth round. Third round pick was okay to me, but the Texans, in my estimation, there were some things that I would have done differently in the fourth round for sure. Loved the first round, loved the fifth round. Loved the second round. Love the fifth round. Third round was just okay for me, and I think I would have handled the fourth a little differently.
All right, who had your favorite draft?
I think the Baltimore Ravens had one of my favorite drafts. Look, some of it had to do with just falling into the picks. Hold on a second, let me pull them all up. Some of it had to do with just guys were there. Patrick Queen to me with the 28th pick. That guy's going to be a long-time Raven. I think he is a really good player. He's tough. I think he's better than Kenneth Murray. And I think the Ravens fell into the best pure linebacker in this draft in Patrick Queen. He'll be a plug-and-play starter and will be one of the stalwarts of their team. J.K. Dobbins, second round, 55th pick. He is a great complement to what the thunder and lightning of Lamar Jackson. And then you've got Mark Ingram and J.K. Dobbins to beat up on people. I love that combination. Justin Madubuike fell because some teams had some concerns about him off the field, but he fell to the third round, and this is a guy with late first to early second round talent right there with Ross Blacklock. He's in that neighborhood, only they got him with the 71st pick. Devin Duvernay is a little bit limited. Some people were kind of hyped on him because he ran really fast, but he's a track guy. He's supposed to run fast in a straight line. He's going to have some trouble running routes. He's real tight-hipped. But the catch-and-run stuff underneath, he runs like he hates humanity. You throw it to him underneath, and you let him run as a catch-and-run specialist, wide receiver screens, and that guy is like a running back. Like, he will freight train you. He did it against LSU a few times. Mm-hmm. That's what he's best at. Malik Harrison, solid linebacker. I think he'll be an average starter, which is just fine. He was their late third-round pick, and then they got Tyree Phillips, who to me, they got him in the third round. I'm high on Tyree Phillips. I think Tyree Phillips has a chance to bump down inside the guard and be a starting guard for years to come, and he's the only guy that I saw move Derrick Brown. Tyree Phillips from Mississippi State moved Derrick Brown around. You don't see that very often, and that's one of the reasons I liked him. And then I also like what they did with Broderick Washington, the fifth-round pick from Texas Tech. Dude, this is a grown man. He's very strong. I think he's a good rotational defensive tackle pick. And then James Prochet. probably the best ball skills, or at least the best highlight reel catches in the draft from SMU. He has a kidney disorder that a lot of teams took him off the board. I thought he would fall out of the draft, but if he's healthy and can stick around, he could be an interesting pick. So I thought they had the best one I saw. I thought the worst was the Green Bay Packers had the worst.
How about no help for Rodgers at wide receiver?
Like, they didn't even get it. I had them getting Adam Trautman in the second round in my mock draft when I had to do the second and third round mock, because Trautman is a guy who can catch pass. They didn't even go with Trautman. They ended up getting a guy with 30-inch arms who's more of a blocker.
They just gave a giant. I mean, honestly, they just threw double rods at Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, they really say Aaron Rodgers is pissed too. Stephen King said he's pissed off.
I mean, I can't blame
not
him,
Stephen
really.
King, Peter King. Stephen King.
What about Stephen?
Could
King?
Have written.
I'm sure Stephen King's writing a horror story about people in Green Bay not having any wide receivers, and they're going through empty streets looking for wide receivers.
Yeah, well, good luck finding one.
Right? In a pandemic, you can't find any wide receivers.
Do you know I'm up here at the station today because I just wanted to see Dell?
No, see, you guys are breaking all the rules today. Oh, and where's your mask?
I'm wearing one right now.
No, you're not.
Do you hear this?
It's not muffled.
Yeah. What?
No, you just I'm wearing
a mask right now.
You got your mouth full of food, that's all.
No, I wish.
Yeah. 8:58, Raheel joins us on the other side. We'll talk about The Last Dance next right here.
ESPN 97.5.